Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right here in the morning on the fan, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, live here in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Tim Allen, Baby Tosh, Bill Schmidt, and you guys, always welcome to join the conversation. In a couple of minutes, colleague of ours, I think it's safe to say that.
Yeah, for sure.
Brother in broadcasting.
Entercom brethren.
Yeah, down in Chicago at the Score, Danny Parkins from McNeil and Parkins. Interesting little excerpt we'll have for you leading into that conversation. Bears and Cubs, Cubs
Brewers
talk.
Definitely some Cubs talk because this rivalry, some people, now the two teams haven't faced each other for well over a month, right? The last time the
been
Brewers
a,
faced
been
the Cubs,
a long while over
beginning
that.
Beginning of June, maybe.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of died down, the disdain for the Chicago Cubs by some people in the city. You and I just don't like the team in general.
At all.
I mean, my grandmother could wear a Cubs shirt, and I'd make fun of her for it.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter who's in the jersey. It doesn't matter the Rizzo or Brian or Schwarber. It's the damn C that I don't like.
It's just that whole world of Cubs baseball that I never did, even when they sucked for a million years. I still didn't like them. Like a mild sedative listening to Harry Carey in the afternoon and taking a nap. I mean, that's what it was. It was just, that's what it was. And so we'll talk to Danny Parkins coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Last night, you had your first taste of Packers football for the 2018 championship season. Everything go okay for you? Was it fired up? Almost melodramatic in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's preseason, so you get fired up. You get on a few strip cards. That's probably the excitement level.
Are people doing strip cards for a first preseason game?
I would think. Absolutely.
I mean, I know you can get first and second half over and unders and all lines you could think of for a preseason game, so why not?
Yeah, and then it gets to be where you stop recognizing the names. And that's where things turn a little bit in your nighttime activities.
Mm-hmm.
You had a couple of beers?
Couple, yeah.
I know you and I watched the game together.
Mm-hmm.
Ate some lasagna.
Couple of mixed drinks as well.
Had a couple of mixed drinks, but a couple of beers.
Yep.
Nothing crazy, because we're just easing ourselves into this. We still have a final push with the Brewer season on the post game. But I think the amount of alcohol consumed during a Packers game in the state of Wisconsin exponentially rises. For state beer sales, right?
Oh, for sure.
It's across the board. People get extra help at night. It's the night games I'm talking about. Day games, maybe a little different story. Night games, Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night, whatever it is. And I have to admit that I fall into that pocket too. Of, man, it's a Packer night game, right?
Yeah, kind of. I might as well. I'll have one or two.
I'll have one or two. No. I plan it to wear.
Okay. See, now this, we talked about the millennial and the old time situation. Why do people in the baby boomer generation feel the need that they need to plan out when they're going to drink? I'm going to drink on Tuesday.
Yes.
I'm going to start drinking at 6:23.
Yes.
With one can of Miller High Life, 12 ounces.
Yum.
What? Why can't it just be, hey, man, you want a beer? Yeah, sure, I'll have one.
Like, then pretty soon it's bar time.
No, I drank. Yeah. I drank 4 days ago. I can't until tomorrow.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm not trying to plan this out. I'm here. If we're going to drink, yeah, let's do it. Why not?
But
sure.
Doesn't it go hand in glove, Packers night game and beer drinking in this state? Doesn't it?
I consider any sporting event a reason to drink.
It's a little more of a reason on a Packers night game.
Because there's only a finite amount of them, three or four a year.
Not many, right? Mm-hmm. So you do have to kind of plan of attack that thing.
And then by the third quarter, I will have had three beers, and that's when I will have one water. Mix it in with one shot of Jack Daniels.
Two ibuprofen?
No.
No?
And then when I need another one, yeah, I'll have another one. Or maybe I'm good. Maybe I'll take a little break.
You just
but
wing
I'm not,
it?
I'm not trying to like plan this out. Like then I'm going to have two beers and then one vodka Red Bull.
Well, no, you don't plan it out like that, but you plan out drinking. Like, I'm going to drink. Packers like, hey, man, have a Sunday night game, so I'm going to, just make sure we get some, grab some beer. Make sure you grab I'm sorry, it's not a case of beer anymore, you millennials.
30 rack.
A 30 rack.
Yeah.
That's it. When did a case go from 24 to 30, and when did it go from case to rack?
I think the 30 rack is more of, I didn't know if that was just a localized thing when we were talking about it at school. And, anybody grab a 30 rack? Yeah, I got one. I think it's more that you have 30 of them because we like to play more drinking games nowadays.
Okay.
And it's so much easier when you got 30 beers, right? And then you got 60 if somebody else brings one, that you can play like three games of Flip Cup and have
Flip Cup
be all good, right? You ever play Flip Cup?
No. I know what it is.
Okay, so you're not that?
No, I know what it is.
Now, how about Harvard?
Never heard of it.
Great game. So Harvard, what you do is it's a mix between beer pong and Flip Cup, right? So you have teams of like six guys on each side. One, you have six cups lined up for beer pong, right? So you and I are head-to-head. Our teams, your team is on the left side of the table. Mine's on the right side of the table. You and I shoot. I hit a cup. I hit one of your six cups. You and I start drinking, finish the beer, flip the cup, get it onto the other side, and then our teams go. And if my team wins the race and Flip Cup, that cup gets pulled. If your team wins, it stays and we're even. That's a game where you need like four or five 30 racks.
That's a lot of beer.
For sure it is. So, see, like, for me, a plan to drink is like 2 hours.
Just open-ended.
Not like a week and a half. Okay. Hey, on the 13th, come over at my house at 7:34, and we're going to have a beer at 7:42.
No, it's not like that. No, but with our schedule, doing the post game, I think it does have to be a little planned out. Those second shift workers, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Right.
What about quarters? Drinking game.
Bounce the quarter into the cup?
Yeah.
Yeah, we still play that one.
You do? Okay.
Yes. You guys ever play, there's too many of them.
So do you keep the beer in the refrigerator during the Packers game, or is it just out, like the whole 30 rack is just sitting in the living room?
I've had it both ways. I'd prefer it to be in the fridge. I would. Because also, if, say, I got five or six people over, right, and then I finish, and then I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to get one. Anybody need one? And then it encourages everybody else to say, oh, yeah, I'll have one.
Yeah, grab me one.
Slam this thing. All right, now we're all hanging out, getting another one in us.
Right.
So if it's right there, I feel like it's just, it's casual. I'll grab one, whatever.
I'm thinking the average Packer fan.
Cuddles with their 30 rack during the game?
Might. and some nachos. And chicken wings and such. See, now the food thing, this is just a final thing here before we take a break. The food thing, that's a little confusing to me. Some people like to drink or eat. One or the other. They'll do them both.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do them both, but they won't do them together. That's me. I fall into that category. I don't like to eat until after the drinking's done.
You're not going to eat like any snacks, hors d'oeuvres while you're having a beer?
Not really. Ruins the buzz.
So, like, when you're eating dinner, you got a plate of chicken wings. You're not having a beer with that?
No. I don't eat and drink. I drink first, then eat. That's. Is that an old thing?
Well, maybe I understand it now because I'm looking at your shirt and your pants, and you got chocolate frosting all over it. Uh-oh. So maybe we do have to focus one thing at a time.
Right.
One thing at a time. We'll eat the chicken wings, then we'll crack the brewski.
Well, you're the one commenting on my damn feet yesterday.
That's because I get all the heat for wearing my flip-flops. Everybody, I'm a big flip-flop guy, right? You're over 300 pounds. I don't like wearing shoes. I sweat too much, right? So I have flip-flops on. And this man chastises me every single day. I just think it's gross. You come in here without socks on.
With bare feet. Yeah.
With bare feet on, right? And who's wandering out here, just socks and all, just, I didn't.
Just
didn't,
socks, but they're
didn't
socks.
Didn't even have shoes on when I left the house today.
And it rained.
Yeah. And then he's walking around here with these ugly ass feet that look like they've been swollen for the last 3 weeks.
I might have the worst feet in the world. I just might.
I'm a 300 pound man. I think my feet are prettier than yours.
Okay, what have we learned in this conversation? We learned that when you get old, your feet look ugly.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that millennials don't like wearing socks.
No. Hate them.
And we learned that drinking beer is part of Packers football.
For sure.
I would Sounds agree. Good.
Especially when you're doing a keg stand outside of a Packer-Viking game.
Cubs, yeah, that was you.
Night before Christmas Eve.
Cubs, Brewers.
3 degrees. Brewers. Just make sure you wear sliding shorts.
Brewers and Cubs. This thing is just about ready to fire up to fierce intensity. We're going to have that conversation next from someone that does what we do. They do it in Chicago, and they're a Cub fan. Stick around. The fireworks begin next on The Fan.
We don't spend a lot of time on this show talking about the Brewers or how their lineup's doing or how their rotation's doing or how the Brewers are. We're not analyzing the Brewers like we analyze the Cubs.
We could. I really became fond of that clown who's on the station in Milwaukee. I shouldn't call him a clown. He's got a clownish name, and I can't even remember it.
Bart. Our guy Bart Winkler.
Bart Winkler. Bart Winkler. Yes. Game show host. No, he's a sports talker. Bart Winkler. I like the cut of his jib. If you'd like a conversation with a Bart Winkler, I'm down for it, dude.
I know you're down for it,
dude. Can we make him a weekly just because?
Bart Winkler. That's my guy.
Excerpt from McNeil and Parkins on The Score in Chicago. Welcome back. It's Tim and Tausch in the morning here on The Fan. And that is interesting. Hey, we love our Babe Winkleman here. We really
Bart
do.
Bart Winkler.
No doubt. Tim Allen, baby.
It does sound like a game show host name.
Bill Schmidt. It sure does. Let's hit that great Midwest Bank hotline and welcome in our guest from 670 The Score in Chicago, Danny Parkins. Danny, thanks for the time, dude.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So we do sort of know each other mutually through a guy you worked with in Kansas City, Josh Vernier.
And, oh, yeah, okay. Love Vern.
Yeah, and we hang out with Vern every spring out in Arizona. So we understand the type of brotherhood that you and I and Josh and Billy here have. So there's sort of a kinship in broadcasting. And so you come well-referenced.
Oh, good. Well, everything you hear, most of it's true.
Okay. All right.
That's all you can ask for, as long as you're hitting, like, yeah, 85% of the time, you're all good.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, we appreciate you having on Babe Winkleman once in a while down there in Chicago.
Yeah, we heard you had our buddy Joe Zanzola on there, our little brother also. Now they don't like to throw jabs, Danny, but we feel like this Cubs-Brewer rivalry has gotten a little bit too nice between the fans. So if we're a little bit harsher, we apologize if we come off too strong and mean.
Well, I mean, if you apologize on the front end, I don't know if it really comes off as harsh. It is. But don't worry. I'm 168 pounds of all thick skin, so I seriously doubt you're going to offend me.
All right, the Cubs, the team in itself, is going to cost me years of my life. And I've said it before. There's just something about it. My hatred for that baseball team goes well beyond just the baseball game. It is going to the point where the Brewers game would be done and the Cubs would be out west. I'm hanging on every pitch hoping that team loses. I'm wishing the worst for that team. But I also understand that they're good. And is this a little bit different this year from your perspective, Danny, that you know, the Cubs have something really crawling up their tail here?
Well, I mean, I don't know how different it is. I think it's just a different team. You know, for years and years, the Cardinals were the class of the division, and Cubs Cardinals is the traditional rivalry in the division. And, you know, I think all of us who are fans of NL Central teams got a little jealous and angry and bitter at the Cardinals. And, now that's the Cubs. I mean, you don't have to go that far back. 2015, the Cubs won 97 games and were the road team in the one-game wild card because the Pirates won 98 and the Cardinals won 100. So the Cubs are not used to competition in the division. It's just they're not usually used to competition in the division from the Brewers.
And what is the feeling down there? I mean, you talk to Cub fans all the time on the flagship down there. What is the sense of an actual race for this NL Central, or does it feel like it's pretty locked up down there?
I think that the Cubs fans see the Brewers as some sort of like pesky annoyance, but not any like sort of real threat, even though cognitively we know that they're two games back in the standings and we're sitting here on August 10th or 11th or whatever the day is. And, you know, obviously the Brewers have exceeded expectations. The thing is that the Cubs know from the organization on down that if they play to their potential, no one else in the division is even close to them in terms of talent. And that's just a fact. I mean, Anthony Rizzo has underperformed. Chris Bryant has drastically underperformed. They've gotten nothing from Yu Darvish, who they spent $126 million on. Brandon Morrow is on the DL. So, like, their former MVP, their $126 million pitcher, and their free agent closer all have given them way less than expected this year, and they're still on pace for 94 wins and two games up on the division. So, like, there's just a feel, there's a quiet confidence that comes with a World Series and three straight NLCS appearances.
You can repeat all that. You can just repeat all that. That's music to my ears. All that negative stuff you just said about the team, but you followed up with they're still pacing to 94. Brewers pacing right around the same mark, couple of game difference here. But at what point, Danny, then, would the concern get to Cub fans, if you can speak on behalf of them? At what point would it be concerning? What, 20 games left? If it's still a tight race, is it down to the final week? Does it come down to a couple of head-to-head series?
I don't like to speak on behalf of all Cubs fans. I know that I talk to Albert Almora every week on the show, and he says that they don't even look at the standings in that clubhouse until September 1st. But I go in that clubhouse and I see MLB Network on sometimes. So like they're not ignorant to it. And clearly the Brewers are a threat, right? Like the only thing that could have disrupted the Cubs this year from winning the division was injuries. And they've had injuries. So it's absolutely possible that the Brewers could overachieve this year and come up and steal the division. I don't think that's going to happen. The Cubs have done very well head-to-head against the Brewers. Whenever the Cubs play at Miller Park, it's a home game because there are more Cubs fans there than Brewers fans, and the Cubs get to just drive up there. So
it's just disgusting. Road trip.
I hate it.
I even want to count at that. But I'm sure you do hate it. And like, I get it. Like it's the I don't even want to say it's little brother, big brother. It's like big brother, you know, adopted step nephew.
Kind of how the
relationship goes. I mean, listen, it's adorable. It's adorable that the Brewers organization Cubs fans out of Miller Park. Like it was just so cute to think that they could do that by only selling tickets to people with Wisconsin driver's license. Like it's an adorable little thing. But I mean, come on now, come on.
If I didn't like you that much, I would want to punch you.
Well, I mean, thankfully, I'm sitting here in Chicago and you're there in Milwaukee, so I don't think you have that long of an arm.
No,
but, you know, it is like, yeah, it's the you guys would admit, right? The jabs are coming one way, right? Like the Brewers Twitter account tries to stunt on the Cubs Twitter account. The Brewers organization tries to keep Cubs fans out. Like, it's not like the Cubs organization is concerned with Brewers fans overtaking Wrigley Field. Like, you guys would admit, right, that you guys are Pepsi in this equation and the Cubs are Coca-Cola, or maybe you guys are more like RC Cola.
Oh, man.
Coca-Cola. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's kind of what it is in terms of the two organizations. And the thing is, I love the Brewers. Like, I really do. I covered Moustakas in Kansas City. I was there in 2014 and 2015. I covered Lorenzo Cain. I've known Craig Council since, like, 1996. Like, you guys are a really, really likable team. And it's just, you know, a wild card's not bad. A wild card game is not a bad result for this season for the Brewers.
It's just adorable. Isn't that just
Isn't
adorable?
Isn't it so fun that they get to play baseball? They come in here and they can dress. They get their own costumes too, Tim. They get their own costumes with their name on it too.
Yep, they get to go to Fantasy Island and become a baseball team once in a while.
Well, whenever I go to to a Brewers game, I'm always amazed. You speak of costumes. I'm like, man, you guys got a costume Polish and a costume sausage and a hot dog. And mm-hmm. got Bernie yep. Brewer. Yep. It's like I'm going to like a knockoff Disneyland with all of the mascots running around.
Well, just wait until they stuff up a Bobby Uecker head and then he's walking around too.
Yeah. And no, but the good thing about Miller Park is it's well maintained. It's clean and it doesn't smell like, yeah, I don't know, pee. Like some ballparks.
I love Miller Park. Miller Park's great. It was, you know, it's great stadium. Plenty of room for Cubs fans.
Now I don't want to go. I don't want to go as far as doing this schmaltzy, stupid radio bet between, you know, radio shows, because that's been overdone and that is sort of.
So you want to challenge him to a steel cage match?
I do. I want to challenge him to him and McNeil. Although McNeil, that guy, I don't know if he'll maintain, but we could go into the ring together.
Well,
I have no interest in a physical altercation with anybody.
Okay, how about this? Why don't we get a McNeil and Tim Allen chain smoking Marlboro Lights competition together? I think that would be a good one that people would want to see on Facebook.
I'd win that.
Sure. I mean, listen. The man's been trying to quit for a long time. I need his voice to be preserved. But again, like, you know, the baseball teams, they'll settle it on the field. And I'm sure it will be a great story for the Brewers to win 92 games and host a wild card game. Like, I'm positive that is going to be looked at as a successful season in Milwaukee.
But
right? Am I wrong?
Well, no.
Honestly, the success is really going to come once in October. Cub fans come up for a National League divisional series. They play two games at Miller Park. They spend all the money that they can, and then they cry and maybe get picked up on the way down Highway 20 in Racine on their way back, crying their tears as they've been knocked out of the playoffs.
And pay a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that you can hear it in your voice. You know you don't believe the words you're saying. that's the adorable part.
Maybe we could win it.
Cubs fans will boost the GDP of Milwaukee by coming in. But you don't believe what you're saying.
Okay. what would have to happen then for the Brewers to overtake the Cubs? Is it just from the Cubs' perspective? So, in other words, the Brewers can't win it. It's only the Cubs can lose it.
No, man, it's baseball. Anything can happen. Sure, the Brewers could go 15 of 20 and go on a run. Like I'm not pounding. This isn't the 2016 Cubs. This isn't some sort of overpowering juggernaut that cannot be beaten. Yes, of course we talk about from the Cubs' perspective on the home of the Cubs in Chicago to a mostly Chicago audience. You know, so of course we're not spending a lot of time parsing the Brewers' box scores. You know,
yeah.
like. Mm-hmm. That's not something that you need to do when the Cubs are leading the division. If the Cubs were four games back in the division, it would be something that would be more necessary, right? Actively rooting against the team that is behind you in the standings, or ahead of you in the standings. But as long as the Cubs lead the division, it doesn't matter all that much what the Brewers are doing in their games. Now, that's just practical, right? Like, as long as the Cubs win, they control their path to winning the division. So, what needs to happen? Yeah, I mean, the Brewers need to outplay the Cubs by, three games over the rest of the course of the season, and I think they've played three more games still in the standings, two or three more games, whatever it is. I don't have it in front of me. But, like, so of course, like, as the sample size shrinks, the variance increases.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a team that wins 85 games in the regular season or 83 games like the lucky Cardinals did all those years ago can win a World Series, because you take a 162 game sample and you do it down to a best of seven, a best of five, or even a best of one in a wild card. So, like, as we go further into the season and the Brewers are still close, for sure the Brewers can win, but I think the three of us all know it's not very likely that they will. They've got a shot, but it's not very likely that they will.
Well, based on the sample size this year, though, I mean, you spelled it out, Danny, that there's been some underachieving in Chicago as well. And so, yes, I think they have just as good a chance, based on this sample size of 120 games here, that this is a dogfight.
I mean, again, okay, that's adorable. You can believe it. You know it's not just as good of a chance. You might think it's 60-40.
Okay.
But You're telling me if I put $100,000 on the table and I said you could only pick it up if you pick the division winner correctly, you would put your shot at
$100,000. Now we're talking money.
Changing the game here, Danny.
This is money. This isn't just microphone.
Now I'm trying
to pay
my
money.
Student loan debts here, and now we're really having a conversation.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're talking about this logically, who do you think has the better shot to win the division?
Mm-hmm.
Don't think it's the Brewers. It's okay to admit. It's okay to be like, damn, we're in the second week of August and the Brewers have a 35% shot to win the division when before the year it was probably a 10% shot. What a successful season. And the Brewers are like, whatever it is, 70% to make the playoffs. Like, but that's okay. It's okay to, you know, Northwestern basketball made the NCAA tournament for the first year ever last year, and they're going to have a banner in their stadium commemorating it. UCLA only hangs banners when they win a national championship. Kansas only hangs banners when they make the Final Four. It's okay for different organizations and different fan bases to have different definitions of success. Making the playoffs and keeping it close is a successful season for the Brewers.
And
winning a pennant and winning a World Series is a successful season for the Cubs.
And we can hang that banner proudly in our adopted stepson apartment held perfectly up above the garage.
Yeah, and we're trying to change the landscape of that, at least on the air on the postgame show, that it is about a World Series title, and it's not about making a wild card, and it's not about having Danny, we're talking years ago. This community celebrated a non-losing season when they ended up at 81-81. So the bar has changed a little bit. Billy and I were in Arizona. We took a drive up to Vegas. We laid down some scratch on the Brewers to win the NL. Well, now speaking of money, I flanked my bet.
Yeah, you did.
Billy, you want to give the news?
Yeah, Danny, as we talk about, you know, trash talking and believing a team's going to be able to get themselves into the World Series and have a legitimate chance to dethrone the Cubs, this man then goes and places a wager about 2 weeks ago for the Cubs to appear in the World Series.
Of course he did. Of course. Because the more talented, bigger, stronger Big Brother is the horse you want to bet on.
Hey, man, we got that slingshot. Hey, we're about to whip that rock right into someone's head.
You don't have to tell us. We're doing Babe Winkleman's show this morning, man. That's what we're doing.
Bort Wonkler is a fantastic broadcaster, and it's cherished air that are on and that I'm on. It's great.
And you can check out the rest of his work on the Game Show Network coming up here at 10:30 a.m.
Well, Danny, we hope to do...
And by the way, like there was really genuine affection for the man and no disrespect in that clip you played. When we had him on, we joked about his name, about how, you know, like if you have a son named Steve, he's destined to be a butler. And if you have a son named Bart Winkler, it's fairly remarkable that he became anything other than a game show host.
I like, said it the same thing
on the joke. It was not malicious.
No.
I thought the same thing when I met him the first time. The boss walked in and said, "Hey, Billy, this is our new guy, Bart Winkler." I said, "Who?"
Yeah, is that his real name? Is that a radio name?
Right, exactly. You think it's like a Z Morning Zoo DJ playing the hit.
That's right.
Bart Winkler.
That's what it sounds like. No, but I really haven't heard anything outside of just the Cub Brewer, you know, a little bit of the rivalry that has irked me a little bit. You guys never been personal about anything up here. It's been about the sports, no question about that.
I love Milwaukee. Great town, great beer, nice people, huge fan. My dad's whole side of the family's from Milwaukee. Been there many times.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Chicago, but wish I could return that sentiment. But you know, I grew up in Kenosha, so that's kind of the armpit of Chicago. Just
basically,
about.
Yeah, like the nose hair.
Yeah, and
there's nothing not to like about Chicago, but that's fine. You know, you have the right to a wrong.
Well, I will say 1975 for a mixed drink is the one thing that I don't like.
Speaking of which, we had a couple of beers, a couple of mixed drinks last night, and we were in preparation for this show this morning. We appreciate it, Danny. If the Brewers do happen to surpass the Cubs, and you know, it's a big if for you, I think it's just a matter of time that this goes back and forth. We'd be happy to join you guys, throw some game, and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to come back on whenever, and when the Brewers pass the Cubs, I'd be happy to return to the show in the year 2032. All
right. Danny Parkins, thanks for the time, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. I appreciate
All right.
you.
Appreciate there it. He is on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
You can start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing personally perfect home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
Hmm. See how they are? See
yeah,
that?
Right.
The holier-than-thou Brewers, knock that team down. Mm. Knock that team down a peg, please. For the love of God, knock that team down. All right, welcome back. Tim and Tausch in the morning here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Good morning. Everything okay?
Fantastic.
That's good.
I'm not even tired, honestly.
No.
They're always complaining about, it's so in the morning, and at the end of it, you're so tired. I'm really okay.
Oh, stop.
I've had like one cup of coffee, and I'm ready to go.
Gosh. Hmm. So, okay, we're going to reinvent the occupation of our staff members here, our colleagues. Did I lose my notes? Okay, so what would Bart Winkler be? If he didn't do a sports talk show.
If Bart Winkler didn't do a sports talk show.
But it has to do in the world of sports.
In the world of sports, so some kind of random, you know, would he be like a... Let's go with equipment manager.
Equipment manager.
For Bart Winkler, yeah, equipment manager. He'd okay. be a good equipment manager.
I'm thinking Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Well, first we could say maybe the chaplain.
Oh, yeah. Sundays, come on in. Talk to all the guys. Andrew?
This week's guest on Faith in the Zone.
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer of the Wendy's Big Show, 2 to 6 on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Joe Zenzola.
I wouldn't say. Like,
Water Boy?
Yeah, probably.
Just Waterboy.
Yeah, probably Waterboy.
Anthony Mandela here.
Anthony Mandela, I could see as like a statistician. Sabermetrics guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, be able to, you know, break down the WRC plus of every player on the team.
Bart could also be a beer vendor.
Could be a beer vendor. Good beer vendor.
Yeah. Chuck Freeman.
Chuck Freeman. Oh, wow. I would say like... NAIA assistant basketball coach.
Perfect. That's perfect. Cody Grant.
Well, what do you mean about Grant, Allen? I think he'd be perfect for sports radio. Oh, got to be something different. Rhodesy would be a parking lot attendant.
Of course, he'd be perfect.
That would be good. He could wave the stick and... Right here in between the lines.
For about 50 years, he could hold that job.
Yeah, he'd have that one for a long time. He'd be fine with that.
Bill Michaels?
Bill Michaels I could see as like a... Oh, man.
I think like an athletic director.
Yeah, like a D2 Minnesota Moorhead or something like that.
Yeah, Mankato State.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. We got Joe. Let's see. Gary and Leroy...
We already know. Right. I mean, they played, so they would be on the team. But post-retirement, are we looking for then?
Yeah, maybe.
Gary Ellerson. Like community. No, Leroy would be like community outreach.
Yeah, head of alumni.
Yes, perfect. Gary, he could be like an agent or something.
I could see that.
Let me make sure you don't get ripped off over here. My good friends at J&J Contractors.
Rami Maslow.
Mascot.
Just a mascot for somebody.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Or the
matter.
Guy that cleans the crapper.
Yeah.
Janitor.
The Lansing Lugnuts or whatever. Mascot.
The Rancho Cucamongas.
Yeah. Let's see. Community outreach we covered. How about Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski?
Oh, wow.
Drug counselor?
Good one. Yeah, he'd be able to do that. Rehab, you know, like Josh Gordon.
Mayor Mitch?
Oh, wow. Mayor Mitch.
I'm thinking maybe like a board operator for a Brewers game in like Park Falls.
I mean, that would work, but isn't it not sports broadcasting?
Well, it's sports. Yeah, I guess.
What about Mayor Mitch as like the clubhouse attendant?
That would work.
Like the guy that doesn't get to be the bat boy, but he just, you know, makes sure everyone's jerseys are lined up correct.
Mike McGivern?
I think Mike McGivern would be really well-suited.
For the coach at Village of Manor Park softball team.
That would be perfect. I think it would be awesome.
Ryan Horvat?
On-site betting manager.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Like, when MetLife Stadium is now having their own gambling circus right there on-site, that could be run by Ryan Horvat.
And then you have Tom Parker, our boss.
Oh, wow. I think Tom would be, like, a really, really good, like, high A ball manager.
Yes. And then you have Tim and Taos. I think we would be in charge of employee sensitivity and relations.
Yes.
On how to work together and get along as a team.
We could run the seminars before the season starts and make sure that everybody knows that there's a certain way to talk to your coworkers.
You must show respect.
And understand that their job is just as important as yours.
That'll work. That about sums it up.
Found everybody a new job.
We did, here on The Fan. Tim and Taos in the morning, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, live here in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. It's been fun this morning.
I've had a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Just like the best birthday present you could get.
That is Baby Taos's birthday.
Hanging out with Tim Allen, Anthony Mandela.
Hit up Facebook.
On a microphone.
Make him feel loved.
Yeah, because I don't know what I did. I don't know if I hit the wrong setting or something. But no one is telling me that it's my birthday on Facebook.
It's starting to scare me.
I would almost forget.
Because
if I didn't love myself so much, I would have forgotten that it was my birthday.
That's what I'm saying. That most dudes, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
It only matters with their girl or their wife. They get
okay, but
like the cable on demand.
Sure, but here's where I combat that. Now as a newly single bachelor in the thriving city of Milwaukee.
There's no on-demand.
There's no on-demand, so people need to know that it is Baby Taos Bill Schmidt's birthday.
Spread the word.
Ladies need to know.
Yes. Yes, and you want to give a great birthday present. I know in my
11-800 West Grange Avenue.
My girlfriend gives great birthday presents.
Tremendous birthday presents.
Present.
Oh.
Nice birthday
just
present.
One?
Well, yeah, just one. I'm old. One's good.
You get tired after.
One's good.
You get tired after opening that first birthday present. I don't even know.
One's good for the birthday. Yeah, for that day. You know. But yeah, so it's your birthday.
You like to celebrate the birth week, though, right?
Well, when you're younger, that's the difference. Millennials, old guys. Yeah. Yeah. So, Anthony, good job behind the glass here. Did you have fun today?
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks, little man.
That's I see. Now we're in charge
of tonight, sport.
We're in charge of sensitivity amongst our coworkers and colleagues, and how to get along and work together as one single unit.
Sure.
Bill Michaels is live from the State Fair on the network today, and so stick around for that. I'm sure he's got a ton to talk about with the Packers last night.
For sure, no doubt.
And, by the way, Bill's probably lost his mind on the Corey Knebel thing yesterday. A lot to talk about. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate that. Maybe we'll see you on Monday.
Maybe. Otherwise, Chuck and Bart might be back. Might be 6 a.m. Either way, 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
Taz and the Moose is off of these airwaves. And there will be a local live sports show here in the city of Milwaukee.
Indeed. For Baby Taos Bill Schmidt, my name is Tim Allen. Have a great day, Milwaukee.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.